Good morning. Kids, you're just going to hang in here today. I'd encourage especially the smaller ones to get a seat where they can see the overhead, because I'm going to share with you this morning some of my Zambia experience. We left on July the 17th, came back on August the 1st. Most of you have been places, some in the country, out of the country, to do different types of mission work. And you know what I'm getting ready to say is very accurate, very true. It's hard to describe your experience in a short period of time, isn't it? Because as you paint the picture, I have the emotions. You just get to hear the words and see the pictures. But I can feel it. I can smell it. I can taste it. And it was awesome. And if I told you nothing else today about Zambia is that God is doing a great work in that country. And we praise Him for that. So I want to pray for us this morning, and then Kelly's going to walk through some pictures, and I'll probably tell you a couple of stories. But as I pray for you this morning, I would encourage you to do something for me, is that you have arrived here this morning with things on your heart and your mind. Probably has nothing to do with Zambia. At least you don't think it does. It has nothing to do with my stories that I'm going to tell you. At least you don't think it does. But God is going to use whatever you offer Him today of yourself to speak to, and for me to speak through me, I believe. So as I share with you about my trip for those 2 weeks, you know, the fact is that all of you who were praying for us, we were there together. And I know that some of you were probably were praying for things that didn't even make sense to you. And they may not even make sense to me, but that we trust God with it, don't we? So let me pray for us, and then we'll walk through this. Father God, we honor You today. We thank You for using just a group of people in a lot of ways and that we do not know, but we trust You. Now, Holy Spirit, as You're here, speak through this time. Lord, speak through this time of sharing. I'm trusting You with this, God. I know that a lot's swirling on my heart and mind, so I'm praying, Holy Spirit, just come and kind of sort all that out, Lord. Well, may You be glorified and honored in Jesus' name. Amen. That was our little team, minus the giraffe in the background, which that was not photoshopped. That really happened. You can see me at the top. To my left, your right, Dan Schrader. Doug Dorman there in the front. Aaron Knappick. And then Dan's daughter, Megan. God brought the five of us together for only purposes that He knew was going to happen. Doug and Aaron live in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Dan and Megan goes to Georgia Southern. Dan lives with his wife and son in Rincon. And then there was me. And the first prayer that I say thank you for this morning is this. No one over there knew that we came from different places. Everybody over there thought we had known each other for many years. I met Aaron in JFK Airport. Didn't know him before then. Dan and Megan, the same thing. Known Doug for years. Most of you know Doug. If not, you know most of his kids. And then us. And this was the last day we were there. So I thank God for your prayers of solidifying and unifying our team. Because we are one of heart and one of mind and one of spirit. I told them in the airport when we were going, I said, here's the way this is going to happen. Either we're going to love each other 2 weeks from now, or we're going to hate each other from 2 weeks from now, and we won't be able to spend any more time together. Because God did have us together basically 7 days, 24 hours a day. We were all together on this trip. And so I thank you this morning for your prayers and your support in any and every way. I literally could feel them. I mean, literally could feel them. And they could too, because we talked about it. We talked about who's praying for you. And one of the things I told them in the airport, we were in New York, because we had a lot of time in airports and airplanes, is that I said, we need to stop asking why God has brought us here and start to ask the question, how does God want to use us while we're here? And I think that's a good question for us today, church, is not why you're here, but how does God want to use you in the places He has taken you this afternoon and beyond. So, Kelly, you can go ahead and go to the next one. This is the couple that we went to stay with. Their name is Ken and Karen Buckner. He is from Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and she's from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They are grandparents, and they're over there. God called them. They are a second season of life marriage, so to speak. His wife died in 2000, and they met and were married in 2009, and God called them to go to Zambia to run an orphanage, actually. And so they no longer run an orphanage, but they are independent missionaries now, meaning they are not there through a missionary organization. They do self-support, raise their own support, and they're awesome. And if nothing else had happened, we were there to encourage them. God used us in their life, and they used them in our lives. They're awesome. They are top-notch. They use their gifts, their talents, and their resources. It's really one of those stories I could tell you, but it's hard to describe to you because they just meshed, and they meshed well with us. We worked seamlessly together, and they are great. Behind them, you see their house. That's one of their six guard dogs, which guard dogs are important, and you're going to see why in a few minutes, but they have six of them, and that's their home behind them, but they are a great couple. And, you know, today, in today's world, in this country at least, is when someone says, or someone feels that God's calling them, is I believe a lot of us have a tendency to say, but I can't, God, because of. They have five children between the two of them, and they have five grandchildren under the age of five. And it'd be real easy to say, God, I can't go to Zambia. I've got this family to take care of. But they said, no, God, this is where you're calling us to, and we're going to be obedient to do that. So they spend 9 months of the year in Zambia. 3 months they come back to the United States because 3 months of the year it rains continuously in Zambia. And so they don't have opportunity to go minister out into the bush because they physically can't get there. The roads become nothing but probably at least ankle up to knee deep mud. And I do mean that literally. Go again. That was our little team plus Karen plus the lady on your left. Her name is Bertha. And the guy on the right is named George. George and Bertha were our translators or interpreters, whichever word is the correct one to use there. I get that confused, okay? But they are basically, Ken and Karen have sort of adopted them. George, at the age of 14, lost both his mother and father, and he was living in the orphanage that they were ministering through. And they basically have taken him under their wing. They pay for him to go to school. He lives there with them outside their house in another building. And Bertha has a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old, but she has no husband. And in that culture, if you have no husband, your children are automatically given to the next family member closest to you that is married. So her two children do not live there with them. They live in another city. And here's why that's significant. The Bible tells us over and over. Now, think about something. We complicate evangelism a lot in America, okay? I mean, the church in America can create some crazy hoops to jump through. The Bible tells us over and over that the gospel is going to the widows and the orphans. And it says it in various ways, widows and orphans. You want to live out the Christian life, look to the widows and orphans. There's a widow and there's an orphan. They didn't go somewhere else to look for them. They saw what was right in front of them. They said, we got to take care of them. George is like a son to them. He's 22. Like I said, he is great. I mean, that guy is awesome. He watches a lot of American movies, so we had a lot to talk about, okay? A lot to talk about. In fact, I forgot to tell you, this will be something you can relate to, especially you. One of Ken's favorite movies? Old Brother, we're out there. One of George's favorite movies? Waterboy. Bertha is great. She said something the second day we met her that it touched my heart, made me almost cry. We're driving down the road 6 hours going into the bush. It's 100 miles, and it was like driving in a tank, okay? And we're bouncing along, and she says, they don't treat me like a maid, they treat me like a daughter. And that was powerful. When someone tells you something like that voluntarily, that's from their heart. And God has used Ken and Karen in a lot of people's lives and given them great, great favor. Favor. Wherever we went in Zambia, when we would roll up and people saw it was Ken or Karen, they got a smile on their face. And Ken and Karen is very careful to not give out stuff for free. Because as with most countries that are third world, everybody's looking for something, right? But they don't give out money. They don't give out stuff. They give out themselves. And we would roll up to traffic stops or to the market and stuff. And when they saw them, they got a smile on their face. I was like, that tells me something right there. That those are men and women of peace. The Bible talks about you look for men and women of peace. And Ken and Karen have favor. And they use it to multiply the kingdom. Kathy, you can keep going. This is Ken and Karen's place of residence. They don't, inside, that is their TV, and it's just as big as it looks. That house right there, let me tell you how good God is. Now, I want you to remember this. We're always asking God, can we have, we need, we want. We have a lot of those prayers, at least I do, okay? That house was built by a Zambian national to get diplomats to come to Zambia to stay. It is top notch. It has air conditioning. It has well water. You can drink the well water if you want to. Their sewage system is much cleaner there. You can do a lot of things. A Zambian built that house for diplomats. Not one time has a diplomat ever lived in that house. God said, you build it for them, but I've got somebody else that's going to be living here. And they lived there for about not quite 2 years. And that house is made for large teams. Did you hear what I said? It's built for large teams. God had somebody else build it, but God built it for somebody else. And there's got about 5 bedrooms. He can hold 20-some people at any given time. That living room is built for small groups. It's huge. It is awesome there. They're the only place in town that has grass. The dry season, it is as dirt can be. It is dusty. It is dry. But they water their lawn every single day. It is beautiful and it is peaceful. Someone asked me, Sophia asked me the other day at Life Group, she said, I can't remember was the first thing I felt when I got there? Was it something that just stood out to you? I think you asked me the other day. I said, how peaceful it was. In the midst of activity, God has provided a sanctuary. And our team was in that sanctuary, and God has blessed that time in that sanctuary for other people to come in and enjoy the presence of God. It is fantastic. As God was using our team, there are over 100,000 elephants there. The first morning we were there, we were woke up at 6:30, and this is the way we were woke up. Hey, there are elephants in the yard. So we went outside, and when I tell you there were elephants in the yard, there were elephants in the yard, like from me to Bernie, elephants in the yard. And they get rid of them with fireworks, and I won't put it up there because we have it, but Doug Dorman had a BB gun. I don't believe this still to today. They say you can shoot them with BB guns and they run. I don't believe it. Those elephants right there, in the middle of all that, I want you to know something, in the middle of all those elephants being around, okay, the great thing is you have to stand around and be with other people because the Zambians are afraid of them because they will charge you. They will come and attack you, okay? And as part of that, you get to stand around with people because no one crosses the road. Like, you have to wait for them to cross the road. They're everywhere. They're not just in the yard. They're everywhere, okay? And when they're there, they're serious business. The female leads the elephant pack, and if they consider you a threat, she will take action. And she's not coming to say hello. She's coming to tell you not to bother the herd. But in the middle of that, you get to stand around and talk with people. So even in the middle of what we would consider an inconvenience, because if you live in Georgetown, don't you get a lot of prayer time at the stoplight? Okay? All right, you get prayer time because nobody hurries an elephant across the road. Okay? You get to spend time talking with other people. God uses the inconveniences in our life, and even the beautiful ones in nature. Okay? Our only trip into the bush, these are pictures from it. We traveled from their house about 100 miles in that vehicle. All 8 of us was in that. We were in that vehicle for 100 miles. They call it the tarmac. You would call it paved road for about 20 miles. Other than that, we went through these roads that have ruts and gullies and dips and all kinds of stuff that, honest to goodness, I would think I couldn't describe it to you. The only way I could describe it to you is you probably almost need a monster truck in some of them to get through. And we went to the bush. This was, we tent camped. And if you see some of those pictures, you could tell for just a moment, that's Doug and I laying down. We had gotten tired on the last day. We had tent camped. We rolled up, and Kelly's going to show you in just a moment. You can keep on going together. We rolled up, and the church building is just simply brick that they make by hand, and it's got a covering. And we roll up, and a choir comes out to greet us at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was all young women and kids, and they were just singing. And Pastor Ken said, they're just glad you're here. And so we just stand there, and every single one of them went by, and they shook our hand. Just shook our hand. And it was very humbling to begin something that's way out of your comfort zone, to begin with someone saying, just glad you are here. And they took the time to build these walls out of brush so we could feel sort of separated from the nature apart around us, so we could feel secure. And we just did that tent camping. And we literally would stay with them, because the pastors themselves would travel to that church building, and they would travel and they would sleep in the church and around the church on the ground with a blanket. That's the way they slept. That's the way you see that truck there? They call that a lorry. That's the way they arrived at the pastor training. Okay? They arrived there with nothing but what they could carry, so therefore they could just stay with us the whole 3 days. So while we were tent camping, they were sleeping on dirt with the blankets over them. The temperature there, now this should make you jealous, okay? The temperature, no, Daniel, it's wintertime in the southern hemisphere. It's in the 40s at night and the 70s and low 80s during the daytime. Awesome. I'm telling you, and zero humidity. If that doesn't speak to you, there are places on the earth. Let me tell you how dry it is there. Here's how dry it is there. You can hang up a soaking wet towel and come back 20 minutes later and be completely dry. It is so dry there. The weather is fantastic. But those pastors would come and they would hear. And then we did VBS training simultaneously. And Doug and I would train the pastors. And Dan and Megan and Aaron and Karen would do this VBS training for the adults. And it was so humbling to hear Dan and Megan through a translator explain the story of Jonah, so they in turn could explain it to children, so they in turn could give them sheets to color on so they could understand the story of Jonah. You know what? We take VBS for granted because we all know through the summer, don't we go down the road and every church and their brothers making up cute little slogans? You know what? We didn't have any cute little slogans, but people showed up with a smile on their face and anxious and hungry. And that was very humbling to me that people would come. In those churches, they would sit on two bricks with a piece of a tree between them. That was what they called their pews. It was just a piece of wood on two blocks, and they would sit there for hours. As a matter of fact, you can't see it very well, but you see the picture in the bottom left? That is Pastor Decision. That is his name, Decision. That's his little boy, Wesley. He is 4 years old. He sat in that pastor training every day, all day long, hour after hour, and he never made a noise, never made a sound. Now, for you teachers, I think you can appreciate that, can't you? But the second thing about that was he sat there with a smile on his face. Very humbling. His dad is fantastic. His dad is one of the pastors in that area, but one of the leaders. And on the bottom right, that picture is, we were in the afternoon, we were done preaching. And here comes a wheelbarrow with a little boy in it. And the little boy, his left leg was straight, but his right leg at the knee was bent back to where his foot was facing him. I don't have a picture of it, so you just kind of picture that. Right knee was bent back, his foot was facing him. Now this humbled me, okay? This humbled me a little bit. He wasn't praying for healing. They wanted to pray that he could get a wheelchair someone could push him to school. And that humbled me because I was thinking, man, to be that hungry, to be able to learn, to see that they have a desire, they have a great desire to learn. It was very humbling. From the young to the oldest, it was very humbling. So we prayed for him, and I don't know if God delivered a wheelchair yet or not, but if you see one of those top pictures of the pastor sitting there, they would sit there with their Bibles, and they'd sit there with open, and we would hand them a little notepad, and they would just take meticulous notes, and they would write, because you know something, guys? Listen to me very carefully, because I'm going to share a scripture with you that I think is very applicable to us today, and that is this. The harvest field is white in Zambia. The harvest field is white in Savannah. But we have to take ownership of that which God has called us into. And for a season of my life, God called me into Zambia. He didn't call me to stay. That's Ken and Karen. He didn't call me to stay. He called me to go as part of a team so I can instruct and so I can teach and so I could be a part of showing them the harvest field before them so they can empower others. Kathy, you can go back to that scripture one. And we use this scripture a lot with the pastors. It's one of the scriptures that Doug uses. But we share a lot. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. That we would use that scripture as one of the teaching tools with them. And then you could see them around a table there, taking what we were teaching them and sharing it with one another. And God was talking to them about making an impact. Now, I want to ask you a question to think about. Remember, God's stirring in your heart is this. Are you being impactful in your world where God has called you? Or do you feel like you're just barely hanging on and that you feel like at any moment you could crush, that you could just wither under the pressure? Because God desires and designed you to make an impact. And for these pastors, what we were trying to do was is get rid of some of the blinders that they had and saying, look, you're a great man of God. But take your congregation to the next level so they can impact this country and this continent. And that God wants to do that. We were trying to say, you may live out in the middle of nowhere, but God can use you to affect around the world. And as they started to just marinate on that, it was fantastic. Because then you could have conversations. And that them taking ownership of this, it was awesome. Kathy, go to the next one, please. And that's the pastor's group plus some elders and deacons that we did for the first training session in the bush. If you see behind that grass there that I was talking about, something that's just kind of a useless information that you might want to know about is this. When we got there, I asked one of them, I don't know who it was, I says, like, hey, like if I want to walk out there in those trees and stuff, do I have to worry about animals? And they said, no, there are no wild animals in Africa. I thought, yeah, right. I may be an American, but I'm not that stupid. Okay. And so, but then I asked Ken, who I actually trust, and he said, that's true. They've killed every single animal there is in the wild, pretty much. The only way you would have accidentally come across a lion or a wildebeest or a zebra out there is if it had left a game preserve on its own. So there are no wild animals in Africa, in this part of Africa, at least, except for on the game reserves. Okay, so that was an accurate statement. But I will tell you, there are cows and goats everywhere. Everywhere. Cows and goats are everywhere. This is the other passage that we used a lot with our pastors, and it's 1 John. Now, work with me for a moment here. John says, I'm writing to you who are God's children because your sins have been forgiven through Jesus. I'm writing to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I'm writing to you who are young in the faith because you have won your battle with the evil one. I have written to you who are God's children because you know the Father. And I've written to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I've written to you who are strong, who are young in the faith because you are strong. God's word lives in your hearts and you have won your battle with the evil one. We use that scripture a lot. And I wanted to share it with you this morning to realize something. Did you know you're in that scripture too? You're in that. And one of the things that we challenged them with, that we challenged ourselves with, I'm challenging you with this morning is this. Realize that that's a now in your life. And that God is growing you and calling you to reproduce and be fathers and mothers. That you and I have to take ownership in that. It cannot be words on a page anymore. And for a lot of those pastors in Zambia, they had been under the influence of missionaries from centuries past that said, the pastor has to do everything. That the pastor has to do all the teaching, the preaching, the praying, the leading and all that. And we were trying to break them out of that mold so they could see that there were young men and that there were adolescents and that there were children and it was time for them to grow up. And it's time for us to grow up, isn't it? And that to realize that without us bringing others behind us along, that we're dead, that we're done. It's over with. All we're doing is sitting and taking up good oxygen. And those pastors did not get this at first. I believe that. I honestly believe they did not get this at first. But you know what we did to them? After we taught this, we didn't sit around and say, have a good day, go have some lunch this afternoon, see you later. You know what we did? We sent them out to the nearest village to go evangelize, and they had to come back and share. We didn't just talk about it. Somebody had to do something about it. And we did that twice. A total of 68 people came to receive Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. I'll tell you that part of that 68 was part of a boys' reform school that we went to that I have no pictures of because I'm not allowed to take pictures of it. Okay, but 68 people came to know Jesus because we did not just sit around and say, man, that sounds awesome. That's for somebody else for some other time. No, that's now. That's right now. And so they picked up their little notebooks and they walked. not next door. They walked down the road for a few miles. And you know what they really did? We sent them out in prayer and expectancy and under the anointing of God. But they sent out and they didn't wait for the right person. They just went to the person they came to first. Zambia may call itself a Christian nation because that's its official. It calls itself a Christian nation. But there's a lot of voodoo and witchcraft. Now that should sound like some other place that you guys know very well. It's called Savannah, Georgia. A lot of voodoo and a lot of witchcraft. So, in fact, I never heard anybody that was Zambian talk about Islam being a problem. But they talked about voodoo and witchcraft and AIDS. 80-90% of the people in Zambia are unemployed. They're not really even sure of the AIDS population because no one, if they say they have AIDS, they're immediately shunned and ostracized from the public. Okay? So no one's going to tell you if they have AIDS. They told us if you meet somebody, unless you know they don't have AIDS, you assume they have AIDS. We use a lot of hand sanitizer. Okay? So that is for a now, and that's for us. And it really struck me as we were there that it's now. It's now. God humbled Dan Schrader and I. We went on a bike tour of Livingstone, the town that we were staying in. That is, I'm using their terms, old folks' home. Now, you may think there's a lot of differences between Livingstone and America. Right there, all the elderly people, they have to clean their own clothes, they have to cook their own food, and they have to basically take care of themselves. They just gave themselves a little place to live, and that's it. In fact, see this picture, see that picture on the right? I know some of you can't tell it. You might want to turn around and look at it. That's a lady. See the blanket hanging over a piece of, okay. That's a woman with on her hands and knees crawling to the bathroom. Crawling to the bathroom. There is one caretaker for the entire facility. For the entire facility. The woman in the middle, she liked to dance. But you know what? God is faithful. And I never heard anybody complain about their environment. I never heard one person say, if we only had. We went over there to not fish for them. We went over there to teach them to fish. And therefore, from this point forward, they have to get the pole. They have to get the hook. They have to bait it. And they have to ask God to show them where to put it in the water. And they're taking ownership. Ownership. But that's a very humbling experience to see that on a bike tour. This is more pictures of Livingstone that we were around. Those are some of the kids. That is a dog up there that looks very, very thin. Those are kids on a road that we would drive by. They just love to see us. Just love to see us. Hanging. I don't know that we actually talk to any of them, but they teach English to them starting in third grade. So it was very English-speaking people were everywhere. This is a blessing of the widows. One reason why I wanted to show you that is this. Remember I told you earlier that Ken and Karen actually practice what's in the Bible, taking care of the orphans and the widows? Okay. In Zambian culture, widows are the bottom of the food chain. If you're a widow, so sorry, too bad, figure out a way to take care of yourself. So Ken and Karen got World Health Organization blankets, took them out there to them, gave them these blankets, which remember I told you it was in the 40s at night, and blessed them and prayed over them and delivered encouraging words. Some of them said they had been sleeping on a dirt floor with nothing until they were handed that blanket. So there it is, practical application of the gospel. Real life application of seeing people grow up and reminding them how much God loves them right in front of them. Ken and Karen do an awesome job with that. VBS train, I told you a little bit about this. Two groups of training. One of the cool things over there is this. They go to school year-round, but because they go to school year-round, they get out really early. They get out usually before noon. You can tag right off the school. So one of our VBS trainings was at a school. Like one day they had 200 kids for VBS, and there was five of them. So for all those who have done VBS, okay, you got five adults taking care of about 200 little kids running around trying to get your attention. And so they taught them and they shared the gospel with them. And I really don't know how many came to know Jesus that day, because every day they went back, they said the kids would raise their hand again. So I can't really tell you the numbers of that. A lot of kids claimed that they came to know Jesus. So it was a great time. I was not a part of that. It says in Romans 12:8, if your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. One of the things I saw in our team over and over and over that I see in this body of Christ, praise God, is using your gifts and your talents for the kingdom of God. Nobody went over there to do something that they just wanted to do. We went over there to do what God had called us to do. And that was a powerful display of the gospel. And I hope it spoke to them to see people just serving willingly. One of their buildings that we stopped at, this is one of their church buildings. They're all pretty much the same. So no matter how many pictures I showed you of it, it's the same brick building with those same wooden beams, with those same wooden pews. Now, the picture on the bottom right, Marge, where's Kayla when I need her? The bottom right, that's a bathroom. But those Zambians are so smart. Okay, can you see the hole in the floor? Can you see that hole in the floor? If you can't, turn around and look at that one. Okay. Well, though they're so smart that... See where my finger's pointing? Okay. Those are two imprints of feet, so you know where to put your feet, so when you squat your rear end down, you know how to hit the hole. That's true. That's true. I love practical, and that's practical. All right? Those were everywhere. Those were in the bush. That's everybody's bathroom, by the way. Okay? As part of our trip, God blessed us. We were able to go to South Africa, Botswana, Zimbabwe, and Zambia. We ministered in only Zambia, but God blessed us and allowed us to go. The bottom thing is a school. Remember I told you I went on a bike tour of Livingstone? I know you guys can't see it, and I really wish you could see it better, but on this wall, they had kids draw themselves and then what they desire to be. And on the top, the little bubbles over their head is like teachers and astronauts and nurses and doctors. I was like, that's awesome. You know what we have to do? We have to figure out how to keep the evil one from stealing what they desire that they become. Because one of the great things about every one of those pretty much was this. There was no rock star. There was no great athlete. It was all about how can we be something that impacts somebody else. That's 1 John 2:12-14. That's why I put that verse up there. It's about how can you impact others for the kingdom of God. And that drawing humbled me to realize this was a bunch of kids that had dreams about doing something that was bigger than themselves. All right, Kathy. That's just more pictures of different things we did. Beware of the crocodiles. They're everywhere up and down every water, and you're getting ready to see those. On the bottom left, your bottom left there, I was in the open market, not for tourists. It was where every day Zambians would go. That's a Savannah State University golf t-shirt. For real. SSU Golf Tigers. That's what it says. And it's a Savannah State. So I don't know what God was trying to tell me through that, other than I laughed, and the guy tried to sell it to me, and I said, no thanks. No thanks. All right, Marge, that picture's up there just for you, right in the middle. That's a pastor that we met. He's wearing a Detroit Tiger hat. I asked him if he knew Marge Thompson. He said, no, I don't, but I've heard she's the greatest Detroit Tiger fan in the world. So. By the way, he was in the bush, so he wasn't even in town. I mean, that guy was out in the middle of nowhere we came across. And as Kathy keeps going through these, the well water I told you is drinkable. That's an open market there on the one side. You can go up to those wells and pump water out. I never actually drank it, but they said that we could if we wanted to. Their water table was very clean. And those are just pictures of the city of Livingstone. Livingstone is a tourist area. There's a lot of Europeans and South Africans come there. So guess what that tells me? Do you know what Europe's like right now as far as the gospel goes? How much? It's dead. It does not exist. Okay? South Africa, not much happening. So here's Livingstone with a bunch of missionaries in it. And they come there. So think how the gospel is going to go around the world. You see, you think bigger when you have God leading you. You don't just think about what you don't have, but you think about the possibilities of what you could do through it. And so that's a powerful, important place Livingstone is. These are just pictures of the town of Livingstone. Like I told you, extreme poverty. During the dry season, there's nothing but dirt. They eat the same food twice a day. It's called shema. What is that? It basically looks like grits with some kind of vegetable called rape, with either chicken or minnows deep fried, and they eat them as is. Yeah, great, isn't it? So they eat that about twice a day. We were able to go on a safari that God blessed us with. All these animals that you see, which you know what they are, God allowed us to do that, and I want you to know that had to be one of the most peaceful things I've ever been on in the entire world. You either sit in a boat or you sit on a truck and you ride around, and it is awesome. All these are on a game reserve, but they are wild. They are able to move around at will, so they're beautiful to see. Pictures do not do them justice. They're in their natural habitat. And the cool thing about their natural habitat is it didn't happen. I kept praying it would happen. I was hoping a lion would come out and just jump on one of those giraffes, and it wouldn't. But our guide told us that he had come across a python eating a deer, but we didn't get to see that. There might be 100,000 elephants, but there are baboons absolutely everywhere you look. They are friendly towards humans, but they will steal your food gladly. They will steal your backpacks and run off to see about their food. That picture right there, that's by Victoria Falls, and you're going to see some pictures in just a moment of Victoria Falls. The animals and Victoria Falls, truth, honest to goodness, is indescribable. It is God, he had to spend a little extra time on Victoria Falls. It is unbelievable to see. We saw during the dry season, the reason why I say that, those pictures you're looking at during the rainy season, that is one solid wall of water. It's a beautiful thing to see, to experience. We spent a day there with pastors from Zambia, and here's why I tell you that. You know those pastors you saw the pictures of? Most of them had never been to Victoria Falls. And this is the truth. When Ken said, hey, I got a surprise for you today. Now, these are a bunch of men in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. When we said, hey, we're going to take you to Victoria Falls, they acted like little kids. And it humbled me. It humbled me, again, because here were people that in their own country, they had not been able to see one of the seven natural wonders of the world, but they were so appreciative of somebody making the effort to drive them there to see this. That's only about 15 minutes from Ken and Karen's house. The safari is only about an hour from Ken and Karen's house. It is just fantastic to see. But to see it with those pastors was like seeing it with little kids. And I had never seen it before, obviously. And it was just humbling. Do you notice I keep using that word a lot? Humbling. Be appreciative. One of the last things we did was is we went on a sunset cruise. And I'm sorry to tell you, it's incredible. It's over the Zambezi River. Zambezi could potentially mean hand of God. Okay, that was the sunset right before. I think Kelly's got one more picture on there. Right before one more, and that you sit there and you realize that the presence of God is peaceful, and that there was. You know what was cool about this? No one was talking. We were just watching. Just being in the moment. And it was incredible. And you know what? I did think of you all. I thought, you know, they're going to see a picture. But how do you describe the experience? Because in today's world, I bet you in this room right now, if you could just say, God, just give me a couple of moments of peace, I'd take it no matter what. And in that moment right there, it was beyond peaceful. Surrounded by friends and knowing that family was praying for you, it's an amazing thing. Kelly, is that the last one? All right. Priscilla, you can turn those lights on. Kelly, leave that up for a second. Dusty, you turn them on. I'm going to give you two stories about that scripture. Gary, if you guys want to come back up. I want you to see that scripture when it says, I am writing to you who are young in the faith because you have won your battle with the evil one. When we were training the pastors in the training, we tried to talk to them about being free in Christ. We call that the steps to freedom. And understanding about forgiveness, understanding about generational curses, understanding that God had great things for them, but sometimes our past can anchor us and weigh us down, and it keeps us from doing all God wants us to in the future. Okay. Doug Dorman attends Biola University in California. He goes out there for 2 weeks at a time. Doug attends Biola University with a man named George Shikwela. There's no pictures of him. He is a Zambian national. Doug's on break. George is on break. George lives in California. His family is in Zambia and with his wife and his children. He's a pastor there. And he spent 3 years in California going back and forth. Now, don't forget, I'm writing to you who are young in the faith because you have won your battle with the evil one. Keep that in the back of your mind, okay? So Doug's coming to Zambia. He's talking to George back in early July. He says, George, when I'm down in Livingstone, why don't you come down and help us do some of the training? George said, okay, I will. George took a 14-hour bus ride to come down to Livingstone to be with us. First of all, he had gone by and seen his wife and got on a bus. I said, George, you know what? If I'd have been gone for 6 months and told my wife I was leaving in one day, I said, she probably would have said something like, why don't you just go back to California when you finish in Livingstone, okay? I said, I admire your step of faith. So he comes down, he's helping us do the training. We're sitting around one night, and the next day we're supposed to go into our steps to freedom, talking about forgiveness, talking about not letting the sins of the past, generational curses, the things we've watched with our eyes, the thoughts we have, talking about living out of bond. George says, wait a second. Don't you understand something? Zambians believe they're under the curse because of the color of their skin. He said, you can take them through this all you want. He said, but they still believe because the color of their skin is black. They'll never be more than a certain level because of that. And like, what? What are you talking about? And so he explained to us some lies that missionaries had told. And he explained some of that stuff to us. And we said, well, George, you didn't believe it, obviously. Okay, you didn't believe it, George. Why didn't you believe it? He said, because I understand my identity isn't in a lie that I'm under a curse, but my identity is in Christ Jesus. But also I have an identity with Adam and Eve, and that therefore Christ came to break the curse of sin, and that therefore I can be more than what the color of my skin says. First of all, I was buying tears just listening to him. He speaks very softly, but he speaks with power, and I love that. So we're like, well, George, you've got to tell them this tomorrow. You've got to share because you're one of them. And he says, yeah, I will. Remember the evil one part? So we go to pray for George. We're inside Ken and Karen's home. Remember I showed you there was a picture of those homes? It's just a good old solid built home, air conditioning. Okay. We pray and we open our eyes, and right behind George on the wall was a live scorpion. And it was one of the small ones. If you know anything about scorpions, the small ones are more dangerous than the big ones. Ken gets up and kills it on the wall, and he says, I've lived here for a year and a half, and I've never seen one of those in the house. So if you don't think that's real, then I can continue to tell you other stories to show you that that's real and the battle was real. And he shared the next day for about 15 or 20 minutes explaining to them that the color of their skin does not dictate to them how high God can be. Because you understand, I want you to understand something. Do you see the verse that talks about, I've written to you who are God's children because you know the Father, okay? They struggle believing that they could have a great impact in their country. They struggled with believing they would ever be more because of a lie, and to understand that Christ came to break that lie and set them free. Now, I don't know today how they worked it out, but boy, I tell you one thing, I sure have been praying that they would receive it. But only God could orchestrate those events. Did you hear all those events I put together for you that only God did? Man didn't manipulate that, but evil took notice. And unless you recognize there's a battle, then how will you overcome that which you're battling against? So today, we're going to end. Let's do one song. We're going to end with one more song of worship. And that's, I'm sending you out. Okay? I'm sending you out to look where you go to lunch. This afternoon, we're going to be at the beach. How do you know somebody's not going to walk up? They're going to walk up, aren't they? Somebody's going to walk up and say, what are you doing? What's going to be your answer? An impact that lasts well past you. But I know today there's some of us in here that are believing a lie that says we can't be more, and there's some reason that we've believed. So we're going to end with a song of worship. You can bring up your cards and your envelopes, and after we're done, we're going. We're going out. Okay? So I'm going to pray for us, whatever Brother Gary and the band has for us. Okay? Father God, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you Lord, for your generosity. We thank you for our salvation. Lord, we thank you for the calling. And you know, God, thank you enough today that you have gifted us, allowed us to be in the battle. Because God, you're trusting us and we're trusting you. So Lord, we end this day together worshiping you, and I pray you be glorified and honored you. And Lord, this afternoon, as we gather on that beach, give us favor, and Lord, give us guidance and give us revelation. And Lord, may you be glorified and honored then. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can stand and worship. If you want to bring your cards and envelopes, that's fine, but we're done.